Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First reading is from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There was no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 80 responsively. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of
Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have
made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let
your hands be upon the one at your right hand, the one who have made so strong for yourself. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Restore
us, O God.
God of hosts.
Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord.
As I said that last line, I was reminded of a funeral that I had in South Dakota. And during the sermon, and I was in the pulpit, during the sermon, I heard this sound. And I looked out, and the pallbearers were sitting in the front row. And one of the pallbearers was, I mean, really, his head was down, and he was snoring away. Afterwards, after the funeral, he came and apologized to me, and he said, I always sleep during church, but usually I'm sitting next to my wife, and she elbows, keep awake, or else be sitting by someone who can nudge you when you start to snore. So here we are, the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday in a new church year. And we move from the Gospel of Matthew that we read all through year A, which was the last church year. Now we're in year B, and we will be reading mainly from the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. So we'll be picking up a little bit of more of John in this season of the Gospel of Mark in year B. And today, we start not at the beginning, not with chapter 1 of Mark, but we start kind of in the middle of this little book. And this reading that we heard in our Gospel today is sometimes called the Little Apocalypse. If you want the big apocalypse, you have to read the book of Revelation. But we just get this little one. Mark is known for his shortness, his briefness. He uses the word immediately more than all of the other Gospels put together. And Jesus is always doing everything immediately. So we will be kind of rushing right through the Gospel of Mark. One of the things that he does in this little apocalypse, there's two kind of traditions about the apocalypse, which is another word for the second coming or the parousia. We might use the word the end time. Those words are kind of interchangeable. We use the word apocalypse. I'm using that today in my sermon just because it's easier than saying second coming. I like to say the word apocalypse. Two kind of different traditions in the church. Some, like St. Paul, talked about the expectation of Jesus' return, the second coming, being quite soon. This is called the imminent tradition. It's imminent, very soon, before this generation dies, before long, Jesus will come again. And then there's the other tradition that is, these are the people that had already lived longer than they expected. You know, we thought he was coming imminently, and he didn't. Some people have already died, some of the first eyewitnesses of Jesus' teaching have already died, and Jesus hasn't come again. So that this tradition of when is Jesus coming is called the delayed or the future tradition. And they thought that Jesus would return, this delayed theology is Jesus would return at the culmination of history, at the end of the world, an event that would occur a long time in the future. We'll all be dead. It'll be something that happens way beyond us, that delayed tradition. Well, Mark blends those two traditions. He kind of teeters between the two, weaves them together when he's talking about the second coming. He says neither the imminent theology or the delayed theology about the second coming, neither is totally right. And the key verse is one verse that we heard in today's reading. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows. Not St. Paul, not Mark, or the other gospel writers. Not us. We don't know. And that's the reason that we are always looking and always watching and always preparing for Christ's return. So this Advent season gives us that opportunity to consider even another possibility. Not imminent, not delayed, but both. The primary coming of Jesus has already happened. And all of our waiting and our watching and being alert for the second coming should be shaped by that primary coming. And I think that's what Mark is pointing us to. This little apocalypse section takes place, Jesus' words take place 1 week before his passion and death. And Jesus tells this little mini parable about a man going on a journey. And he warns the servants that they do not know when the master will come back. Whether he'll come in the evening, or if he'll come at midnight, or if he comes at cock crow, or if he comes at dawn. Now, if you would turn the pages of Mark's gospel just a few pages beyond and get to that story of the Jesus' arrest and the of his passion, we'd see these four scenes again. The first one, because Mark divides this Holy Thursday, Good Friday, into these first four sections, too. So it starts out, the Last Supper starts, when it was evening, he came with his 12 disciples. They go to the upper room. Then he says he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and once more Jesus came and found them sleeping, and their eyes were heavy because it was the middle of the night, midnight. And the third scene is at the close of Jesus' trial, where Peter denies Jesus for the third time, and the cock crowed. And finally, Jesus is taken to Pilate for the trial. As soon as it was morning, Jesus came to Pilate. As soon as it was morning. In this little parable that Jesus told, he said, you don't know when he's going to come. At night, in the middle of the night, at midnight, at cockcrow, or at dawn. And then Mark tells those same, uses those same words to say that this is when Jesus is coming. Mark is intentionally showing Jesus as declaring that his return, when the heavens shake and the skies are darkened, will occur precisely at that moment when he is nailed to the cross. When we gasp in awe and wonder to see
God's love poured out for us and for all the world. Jesus pointed to that moment as a moment when his love would be released, when he would come. Mark isn't just teetering between those two competing theologies, but he's inviting us to imagine that whenever Jesus comes, whether it's imminent or delayed, all of our anticipation and preparation for Jesus' second coming should be shaped by his first coming. By his first coming in the vulnerable infant and as a man hanging on a cross. And maybe even more than that, I think Mark is inviting us to look for Jesus right here, right now. To look for Jesus in similar places as he was found in his first coming. In places of vulnerability, in places of suffering, in places of need. Pastors and other folks who try to live the church year are often tempted to try to live in Advent, watching and waiting for Jesus' coming. And we shy away from too much Christmas in order to stay in the Advent season. But imagine that Mark wasn't simply teetering between these apocalyptic traditions, but actually calling it into question. Is it a false dichotomy of imminent or future coming of Christ? Is there a false dichotomy between Advent or Christmas? So here we are. I've had a conversion. It's both and, not either or. An infant born in poverty as a refugee, escaping the death threats of the government, as a teacher and a healer who paid special attention to the poor and to the outcasts and those on the margins of society, as a suffering servant hanging on the cross. And we hear this on the first Sunday of Advent to be watchful, to wait, to be alert, to listen. But to realize the truth of Jesus' first coming makes all the difference for our anticipation for the second coming of Christ. It's not past or future, it's now. Jesus' coming is now. It's about looking for Jesus in the need of those around us. To see Jesus in the suffering of the world, to be awake to God's presence in the midst of our own need, our own suffering, to see Jesus there. Advent doesn't have to be such an ambivalent season that has us teetering between joyful anticipation and hectic preparation. Dinners, buying gifts and parties and cards and holiday programs and all the rest, all of that can be a wonderful part of Advent, even if it might be a little overwhelming. Because in this wonderful season of Advent, we are looking for Jesus right here, right now, in our midst. But I think that in this season of Advent, we might need to do some ever heard of mindfulness training? It's a technique. Betty and I have talked about it quite a bit. It's a technique that people are taught to be able to focus on what you're doing and not be distracted by past or future, but to be mindful and be present right here, right now. And I think we need to do some mindfulness training for ourselves during this season of Advent. So first of all, I want you to think of one or two things that are on your to-do list for this week or for the season of Advent. So get something in your mind. Think of one or two things that's on your to-do list for this week or in the next couple weeks. Now think of that event or that activity and think about how you might be more mindful, more attentive to the need and the vulnerability of those around you. And be mindful too of your own need, of your own vulnerability. Allow yourself to be on the receiving end of the care for others. I tell people often that unless you allow charity to be done to you, you are not allowing people to be charitable. That we are cutting off people's ability to respond to that spiritual gift of generosity and charity. We need to be on the receiving side too. Let others help you. Let others be kind and generous to you. Let your need and your vulnerability be seen. That allows other people to be generous and kind and giving. That allows others to see Jesus in you as you see Jesus in them. Be mindful of God's presence. In that task or that activity that you thought of, how is God present? How are you seeing God in that activity, or how can you? Jesus comes. God is here now in our lives. Maybe the watchword for Advent shouldn't be wait, but it should be look. Look where God is in your world today. Look to see what God is up to in your life. Look for Jesus in this Advent season. Look around. Enjoy the season of Advent. Amen.